Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yoda Spee, Sport of Time, episode 326. The whole gang is here. Let's start with John. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Batting third, Stu. Hello, Newman.
Hey, Brandon. How's it going?
Oh, not bad. And we're so happy to have him back. Chicken Fingers 69 has joined the episode. Hello again.
Hello again. How are you?
Good, good, Chicken. Doing great. Since we have you, we definitely need to talk about the front office hires by our Minnesota Vikings. We have not had a reaction episode yet, and I needed to get your thoughts on it. Are we just gonna go with Questy? Is that our the head boss? Start there. Not sure that we've aligned on anything else.
Well, what are the options on the table?
KAO, I think, is the other way to go.
Wait, KAO, isn't that a type of campground?
Yeah, it's KOA.
Yes, it is.
That's KOA.
No, KOA. KOA is the campground. KAO is the GM.
Is
that right? KAO. So KAO. Oh, Jesus God.
We are not starting this over.
I'm not starting.
No, we could.
On a high note.
We easily could start over.
Kwesi Adofo Mensah. That is not KAO, Steve. That is nowhere close to KAO. We're going to call him Cam.
We were all yes-anding your KAO, like, okay, where's he going?
Sure.
Where's he going?
You know, it's not sure. This is all because Brandon distracted me with a T-HUD mention in the green room beforehand. I was thrown by the mention of T-HUD
yeah,
and the stress of both worlds.
I was thrown by him, too. He's the coach of the fourth grade Hopkins team that piss-pounded my kids. So I now hate Troy Hudson. He's a listener. T-HUD, we're coming for you. No, we're not. No,
okay. Please don't play us again. Listen to his album.
Please
his
don't
album
play
sucked.
Us again.
His rhymes were weak. His beats were soft. Nothing.
If we play them again, I'm going to use that. That might throw him a little bit. Okay, well, let's go with Cam. Just go with Cam. Does that sound fine?
Well, do we have any other options? You guys didn't come up with anything. So.
Do we have a nickname? Nothing. Chicken, you're nothing. A nickname department.
We threw out some stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's when you've got three names, there's a lot to go for, but it's also there's a lot. So I think we had like crazy ex-girlfriend.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, Camilla Parker-Bowles.
Let's see how the draft goes and we'll give him a good name. And if it goes badly, we'll be mean to him.
There are a few options on the table. Maybe nobody says we have to decide right now.
We don't. I like Camilla as a starting point.
I want to call him John Michael Montgomery, just like he calls all Giant Ryan Murphy.
That's good.
I like that. I'm right. Finding Camilla myself. Parker-Bowles. Camilla Parker-Bowles. I'm finding myself with zero takes. I know on paper this is my perfect GM.
Yeah, no, we mean zero takes.
Yeah, don't soft pedal this.
Yeah.
This is your triumph, man.
They picked
this
anybody.
Is your fucking
Brandon's
victory
like,
lap.
I have zero takes because he's the perfect choice, says Brandon.
He says, before they hired this guy, before he was even on anybody's radar, we talked about this.
I dreamt him up.
The adjectives and the proper nouns used were Ivy League.
Mm-hmm. Check.
Wall Street.
Nailed it.
Analyst.
Uh-huh.
Young.
Millennial.
Like tight pants.
Uh-huh. He's got a tailor. We know this, right? He's not an off-the-rack guy. Yeah.
Yeah, no. this is not a man who's putting his pants on over his shoes.
I don't know what he's going
to
do.
This is a man whose pants are tight enough
Egan that he has to put them on. I guarantee you there's not a tailor in Egan. Nobody. There isn't one. There's zero.
No market.
So he's got to figure some out. Yeah. So then there's that half. GM half.
On paper, yes.
Built in a laboratory, he's your guy.
Yep. But I don't have any idea if he's... I can't say like I think he's going to be good or bad right now. I have no idea.
I'm freezing. I'm out here.
You're back.
In the off. All right. I may turn my video off. That'll help my bandwidth. Fine. That's something I've learned in the pandemic era, guys. So
that's right. Okay. Goodbye, chicken.
Off. Head coach candidates.
We lost John too.
You said I want a wonky young offensive. Like offensive genius mind. That's what you said.
Did.
Oh, done. It's
nailed
done.
It. Like they another did. Millennial.
So then they make those two hires and we have this little powwow that we're having. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't wait to hear what Brandon has to say about this because he could not be more excited. They nailed everything he ever wanted in every kid. And you come on, you're like, well,
I don't know.
Tepid, kind of milk, like, meh. He's a hotel room painting and whatever. I have no real strong takes. Like, what the fuck? Where were you looking for?
I don't know. It's
perfect.
The dog caught the car, you know? It's like, what happens now? Yeah. What do I do? I finally caught the car. It's exactly what I wanted.
Was available.
I just don't. Now I'm nervous because what if they're disasters? Then my all my street cred that I've been building up.
Oh,
people rely on me for my takes.
Oh, it's going to be a disaster. I can't. Kind of want it to happen now.
Chicken, when Zimmer got hired, if I remember right, and I do, before anything happened, we just saw like kind of an on paper thing. We're like, okay, cool. Well, we'll keep an open mind. We'll see. You said that. I'm going to keep an open mind. And then his first press conference,
that doesn't sound
angry, grumpy, surly. And you're like, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm in. This guy. This is my guy. I'll never get off his corner. This is my guy. And you never budged. And I love that. Do you have any strong feelings about either of these two guys so far? Is anything, because we can also use the boy geniuses as an example. You were like, these guys are going to have to prove something to me before I give up the goods. And you kind of think that was your...
I think I'm in the same exact spot as I was with the boy geniuses. Mm-hmm. I think my big thing with them was how much everybody had already kind of crowned them. You know, the old Denny Green thing. This is exactly what everybody wanted, was these young, wonky, rhapsodo, spin rate. Hey, that's great. Like, no, I was never against that.
Launch angle.
These guys haven't done it. Everybody's going to that. You need that plus the next thing. They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So I think that that's where I think the NFL has gone that way as much as MLB at the time. So I do think this is out ahead of the curve. So I'm excited in that sense of see if this actually does move the needle. Right. We've had kind of crusty old coaches now for as long as I can remember. Have the Vikings ever had like a young, innovative Bud Grant when I was a kid?
Yeah.
the day I was born. 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I was in high school, they had Bud Grant and they had Les Steckel for a year. I don't know if he was considered young.
He was considered young.
Was he? Well, okay. Yeah. So for one season, a disaster. They had a young guy. Then they just went, Denny Green. I couldn't tell you how old Denny Green was, but.
It seemed like he was like 48 for his entire life.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Danny.
I mean,
Leslie Gary Frazier. Burns, and
Gary Burns think, was a young innovator when they hired him.
He was an innovator. He really was.
He was innovative, but he was never.
Oh
young.
My gosh.
That was never. Can
Gary
you picture
Burns was 95 years old my entire life.
His entire life. Can you picture Jerry Burns as like a 12-year-old? Fucking pudding cup.
Come on,
fucking algebra.
Number 10.
Fucking what's a remainder? What the fuck's a remainder? That doesn't make any sense.
Recess.
The fuck am I going to do outside?
It's fucking cold.
Recess. Relative to the league, Mike Tyson was young, but does anybody consider Mike Tyson like a young, innovative?
He wasn't really a swashbuckler.
No.
No, and Brad Childress was never really like the cutting edge.
You could not say that about Bradley.
And Leslie Frazier had been around the block, and obviously Mike Zimmer is who he is. But so anyways, I don't know the Vikings have ever kind of gone this direction that I can recall.
It's a new day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, and the GM is innovative in a sense. I don't think there's a ton of GMs out there like this guy. The coach isn't anything innovative. Like hiring a young offensive coordinator, that's not new. That's the new way.
Hiring the offensive coordinator from a Super Bowl team is not exactly outside the box thinking.
No.
That is the box.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not even inside the box. That's what the box is made out of.
But hiring a 30-something Ivy League basketball player is as a general manager, I think is. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, his first week on the job, I wouldn't say was smooth. Smooth would not be the word for Cam's first 2 weeks on the job. The John Harbaugh.
Harbaugh thing.
Kevin O'Connell hiring could not say
what. That was a very strange day.
Yeah. He may end up being right. This may end up being the correct hire. But
yeah, I mean, Harbaugh is such a weird dude. But, I mean, the results he got in the NFL sort of speak for themselves, even if he has a short shelf life.
Yeah.
Like, that's like 3 championship games in 4 years. That's hard. It's hard to say to that.
If you like that part, you said, hey, we're interested in this guy. Mm-hmm. What, you need an interview for you to say, he didn't nail the interview part. Like, okay, what? That's the
how thing. Badly must he have fucked up that interview? I still have no idea what he could have possibly said for them to be like, forget it. Fuck that guy.
I don't know.
Was he just open-minded or
enjoyed imagining Jim Harbaugh's trip to interview with the Vikings, because it was very clear that Harbaugh thought he was coming in to like have a press conference and sign that day. And so I'm just imagining him like coming into Winter Park and the doors sort of barge open and he's like slapping people on the back. Hey, good to see you. It's good to be here. I'm just so excited. And they get into the conference room. He's like, yeah, good to meet you guys. I'm really excited to be here. And they sit him down and, you know, one of them slides over like a giant binder that they flip open to the first page and are like, all right, I want to go through all this stuff. First of all, tell me how you're going to relate to our players, and watching, you know, this big grin on Jim Harbaugh's face just sort of melt away as he was like, oh no.
Sir, can you just sit in the lobby for 10 minutes? They'll be ready for you soon. Like, what? Yeah.
Here's your interview questions if you want to review them.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Did you bring a copy of your resume? I can...
I'm more paperless guy now.
I just so the hiring process itself doesn't quite make sense to me. Why you would bring him in then not hire him? If you don't like him, fine. That's fine. You don't have to justify that. Don't interview him and then say no. Seemed like an odd.
Seem odd. What is the Occam's razor conclusion? It really is just like he sucked in the interview. We did not get along with him, and we don't like him. Never mind. Is that it?
By all accounts, everybody is saying that. And I don't know what the conspiracy theory would be. I don't even know what
you
that
do
would
too.
Be.
You've got one.
Well, I can come up with a million of them, but I don't know what they might. I guess you could say.
You don't know if they're going to give any traction.
Maybe all right. Here's the closest I can come up with for a conspiracy theory, and it's entirely based on Jim Harbaugh being an egotistical maniac, which I think fits in.
Well, you didn't know that? Everybody knew that. If I know that, then Cam knows.
Here's my theory. Do you guys remember when Mike Krzyzewski was going to go coach the Lakers or something, and then he decided he didn't want to, and he came up with this whole ridiculous story about a letter some kid at Duke wrote him, and he read it and he had a change of heart and he just couldn't leave. And it was just this utterly shameless fake way of being like, actually, I like yelling at unpaid players way more than I like dealing with NBA players. And here is my fake reason that the people at Duke are just going to absolutely lap up while everybody else in the country rolls their eyes and is like, okay, whatever, Mike. And I feel like the same thing could easily be true of Jim Harbaugh, where he never wanted the job. He managed to finagle a meeting. He came in, just blew the whole thing off. And now he can go back to Michigan and be like, man, I love being in Michigan too much. I love coaching Michigan football.
He took a 50% pay cut going into the last season. He took a pay cut from $8 million a year to $4 million a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, that is.
So, that and is he used to work. Right, he used to work with Cam. And if you really want to, like, the Occam's razor is, I was a coworker doing a former coworker a favor to get some money back from a land grant university. If you really want to look at it just as a dollars and cents thing. I mean, he already should have gotten it because he beat the shit out of Ohio State, which is all you have to do at Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it took him 7 years to do it, but he did beat him.
He beat the absolute piss out of Iowa in the Big Ten title game. I should like him more now that we're talking about it.
Right.
Stu, that's fine, but what is Cam O. Harbaugh? Why would you do that?
That's the whole thing. It's like, we don't know how close they were with the Niners. They were like together for 2 years, and Cam was like not exactly a big shot there at the time. He was like an intern, an assistant. He wasn't
day one of your job, your new job.
He was like bringing markers to Harbaugh for the whiteboard. I mean, it wasn't.
And you're going to start doing Jim Harbaugh a favor?
Yeah.
It seems like an odd day one task.
It does. It does. But I'm trying to think of any other.
It just doesn't.
It's a weird thing that we're probably not going to know about for like a decade. Like when Harbaugh like writes some sort of weird biography called My Season in Khakis. And,
and Jim Harbaugh.
That'll be when we find out his side of the story. But yeah, it was a weird, the whole day was weird. And like, literally we're waiting. And like in a 15 minute span, it's like, well, Harbaugh's leaving. And oh, by the way, the Vikings are hiring Kevin O'Connell. And it's like, what?
Yeah. It was weird.
And I don't,
they just must not like them.
And
the
thing is, we have no idea. None whatsoever. If it's,
it wasn't about the money.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he chose something better. It wasn't that he doesn't have the resume. Like, those are all obvious. They know who he was going into it. Mm-hmm. They probably were just like, I heard this guy is kind of a prick. We don't want to have that culture. Let's see if he's a prick or not. And he came in, they're like, yeah, he is. He sucks. We don't like being around him. And Cam was like, all right, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's not as fun as some of the other conspiracy theories. Throwing your old co-worker a bone, that's a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was like, you know, Steve Spurrier went to coach in the NFL, and then there was some chance he was going back to Florida, and then it never happened. And supposedly what happened was he called up the new athletic director or whatever, and the athletic director was like, well, you gotta submit your resume or whatever. And Spurrier is supposed to have said, oh, you want my resume? Look outside your office and look at the trophy cabinet, and then swore at him and hung up the phone. And then it never got done. Maybe it was just like that, where they're like, Jim, what's your resume? And he's like, oh, I'll tell you what my resume is. And then just flipped them both.
My resume is fuck you.
Yeah.
My cover letter is fuck your mom.
Yeah. I like the other conspiracy theory that Camilla thought that he had hiring power, and then he tried to hire him,
like,
and he found out that he did not have hiring power, which is,
yeah.
That's like a really adorable one, because it's extremely funny to me to be like, you're hired. And then someone goes, bud, let's go have a talk. Why did you think you could hire somebody?
A word, please.
What? Sorry, Jim, you're not hired. They all hate you.
I guess another one I would like, a conspiracy theory I would enjoy is if he just ripped Rick Spielman to shreds and, mm-hmm. you know, was came in, yeah. like, but it, why did you keep this guy on for, like, after he drafted Christian Ponder and you kept him on like seven more seasons? What were you thinking? Have you seen your offensive line? He had 20 bites at that apple. What were you people thinking? And Ziggy's just like, all right, you're tugging at his collar.
Right.
And, finally,
yeah, he's trying to like bond with Camilla of like, you got such an easy job after that fucking idiot. Who the hell hired him? We did.
Oh, yeah. So
Jim, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, all man. Ziggy wants to do is like rip off some pensioners to build a high rise somewhere. Anything but be in this fucking room.
Okay. All right. So we're going to keep an open mind for Camilla and we'll get him a better nickname. But yes, on paper, of course, it couldn't be more at my alley. So I'm extremely biased and the tables have turned between me and Chicken.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just, I can't
Brandon, wait. I'm sorry. Oh, no. Yeah,
this is not going to be good for me. I'm going to have to get rid of my Twitter account.
If they
and change my phone number.
Well,
and we just talked about where you live, so you're going to have to move.
Damn it. Now I got to put the house on the market. Well, we'll see if T-HUD will have me.
Just rap on the window at 2 in the morning.
You see who they draft in the third round?
But you better pray up to Jesus in heaven. They don't miss a draft pick, like come in late. Like,
oh, man.
Like they did that one year, because I will eat your shit.
A noodle-armed quarterback is their second round draft pick.
Oh, God.
Okay. What do you think about Kevin O'Connell? Is that his name? Kevin Connell? O'Connell? Whatever. That guy? Again, on paper, I'm a fan. But I don't really know. You know, when we went through a couple weeks ago, whenever our last podcast was, it must have been 3 months ago now. Remember, we walked through like the Vegas odds of who we thought was going to most likely to be the next Vikings coach. It was Bieniemy and Daboll and Harbaugh was on it, and a bunch of others. O'Connell was not in the top like 20 people. So for that reason, that seemed to come way out of left field for me. This guy, I know nothing about him.
The one thing that I suppose concerns me is that he's the offensive coordinator, but he doesn't call the plays.
Yep.
Which it's a little bit like Camilla Parker Bowles. He was an assistant GM, but he was assistant GM for the Browns.
Yeah.
So right. It's like, how good of an endorsement is this really?
I know it's tough. And he's not been in the league very long, which I guess that doesn't matter a whole lot. The best thing you can say for him right now truly is Sean McVay is smart and he hired him. That's it, right? We have no other actual objective.
The whole McVay tree is that's the endorsement, is it? He's been Super Bowl two of the last 3 years.
Oh, by the way, while we're on the topic of Sean McVay, I have an amazing fact for you. Sean McVay was a tight end on the Miami of Ohio team that provided Tim Brewster his only win in the 1-11 season, Tim Brewster's first year. Sean McVay was on that team that lost to the Tim Brewster Gophers.
Wow.
So really, it's not even a Sean McVay tree. It's a Brewster tree.
It's a Brewster bat.
The Brewster, yeah.
But Sean McVay is involved. That fact is courtesy of my brother, Dave. So thank you, Dave.
The best.
Thanks, Dave. Miss you, buddy.
Yeah, that's good. Stu, what are your thoughts on Mr. O'Connell?
Sure.
Great. Yeah,
He's an American citizen.
He's an American.
You guys are making fun of me for not having a take. None of you have takes on this guy either.
I don't know shit about it. I didn't know about him until we hired him. I didn't know anything about either one of the guys. Good. I'm glad both those guys have been replaced. I'm pleased.
Yeah. But
do I know if they're any good or not? Of course I don't.
No.
There have been no games played. There have been no moves made. I am disheartened by the fact that O'Connell says he can work with Kirk Cousins, but I don't know if that story came from the Cousins camp or from the Vikings camp in order so they can build some trade value for Cousins' albatrosses of a fucking contract. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, what are you going to say? Hey, can you work with our starting quarterback? Yes. No, God, no.
That sucks.
What are you talking about?
Captain,
of course I can't work with that guy.
No. I'm going to cut CJ Hammond the first day of camp. That's what I'm going to do. Just Jesus. Yeah. So I died. I know how the game is played, but still, it's like, I'd really like to have a full reset of the team and have a different quarterback. Do not, as I told someone on Twitter earlier this week, I have Gardner Minshew home and away jerseys at the ready for 2022. I'm on the Minshew train. He had two good games with the Eagles this year. I'm sold. He's got a mustache. Oh,
such
he's usually
awful
posing
idea.
Shirtless with a pheasant he's killed with his bare hands. I am on board with the Gardner Minshew train. So
we all have a weak spot. No, yours.
He's always shirtless. He's got like great hair. It's just
you think that'd be my weak spot, but it's not. It's
no, too. I know. Well, he's not wearing like if he had a quarter zip on, then you would be totally in his camp. But you know, we all have our own kink, and that's fine.
That's
I
right.
don't kink shame here.
We don't. That's one of our policies. Sorry,
no kink shaming on the sport.
Right.
So,
What do you think the odds are that Kirk is the starting quarterback week one?
I think he's gone. I really do think he's gone.
Wow. Like 100%. Like you're feeling.
Yeah. There's no coming back from. What I mean, he's going to have
from
to take
performance
a significant
in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, from his performance in general, and also just. His contract. I mean, he's going to have to take a significant pay cut to stay here. Otherwise, he can't do anything with his roster with that contract. Yeah. So, yeah, it's.
Do you foresee
him voluntarily taking like a 50% pay cut?
Yes.
Really?
Seems like a no.
Well,
there's enough teams who need quarterbacks, right? Why would he do that? I guess John, you go.
More likely thing is that he would take some stupidly reworked contract and then they would just cut him after the year or whatever. But
yeah,
I mean, Brzezinski is a genius. That's true. Not even he could like save the Vikings from the Kirk Cousins contract. So thanks for that, Rick. but yeah, I think he's gone. I really do think that they will find a way to move him.
Okay.
One way or the other, it's even if they just get totally broken over Bane's knee in the salary cap for this season. I think they're sort of writing off 2022. And
well, these are the young guys, and they understand like how bad of a albatross contract can be. So that's a point in getting rid of them. Every new regime loves. A splashy move to start with, right? And I think they probably understand like that's an easy win for getting public local sentiment on my side. If they care about the PR aspect, that would be good too. But they are, it doesn't seem too hard to convince yourself that they were pretty good last year and they could be pretty good next year. And so why blow it all up just for fun?
Yeah. I mean, here is the thing to note. The Bears are a garbage fire. The Lions are the Lions. The Packers are probably going to be a garbage fire next year, just depending on Aaron Rodgers and all those decisions. Keeping Kirk Cousins and winning 7 games and going to the playoffs is not there's an outside chance that they could win 7 games. They could win 7 games next year and win the division by 3 games. The rest of the division is just potentially absolutely terrible. They might not have to blow it all up so that they have a chance later. They might be able to just keep status quo and not be very good, but also win the division next year without
rebuild the team on the fly, like go like 9-8 or 10-7 next year and then actually like compete.
Yeah. I mean, these new guys think that they're confident that they're better than the old guys. So the GM's like, I can do some work on the margins. The coach is like, yeah, I can coach these guys up a couple extra wins and they're, 10-7. I don't know. I mean, I am on team blow it up, obviously, just for the fun of it all.
I just don't know how you can fix that offensive line in one offseason.
Right.
After a decade of, I think Chicken's got so many metaphors for that offensive line, I'd hate to like steal one from him, but it's just an absolute fucking disaster. And I don't know that you can fix it in one offseason.
I don't know either, but I believe in my millennial friend, Camilla Parker Bowles.
I think you can call it blowing it up while still keeping Kirk for one more year. He's under contract. So the easiest
I just don't know how you can. I don't know how the money works. I really don't know.
Well, if they're going to try to trade him, is my, I think you're right, yeah. Steve. I don't know that anybody will take him. They're going to try to trade him. If they can't find a buyer, if they can't find a partner, they will. The easiest thing is just to keep him for one more year. Don't try to extend him to reduce the cap and then resell him. Just take him for a year. And you can try to rebuild on the fly, even with keeping him. It'll be interesting next year. They're going to convert their defense. It's not going to be a 4-3 anymore. It's going to be this 3-4. They're going to do all these new innovative things. I just don't see them trying to compete, even though John brings up a great point. The rest of the division is going to be a mess, possibly. I don't see how they can look at it objectively and go, yeah, no, we're fine. We're going to compete.
Yeah.
I just don't see how they're going to do it, considering all the changes that they're going to try to implement.
How many guys do they have that are just like fully in their prime right now? Are they like I feel like they're fairly like mature. I mean, Jefferson young, but he's Cook, awesome.
Cook O'Neal.
For sure.
Those are the three guys I can think of right now who are in their young prime.
Barr, Kendrick.
Barr's old and gone. Kendrick's, I think, has one more year of tread left on the tire.
Okay.
I don't know if Kendrick's not under contract, is he?
Jeez. These guys go quick.
He might not be. Chicken. And well, Hunter, but I mean, Hunter wants to leave. So,
well, Hunter's the interesting one, right? Because if they do convert their,
here's where I honestly thought I had a Reese's phone number. I should just call him right now.
They have no safeties. They have like Harry Smith and
he's 35.
That's it.
Like, he might be 40. Actually, he's old as me.
Name their other starting safety because Woods is gone.
I'm not going to do that. I will
Orlando
not.
Orlando Thomas.
Scud Missile. OTD. He would tackle OTD, without his arms. He would just go head first. Scud Missile.
I don't think he even had arms.
Launch himself.
Every tackle he ever made was just with the face mask.
That's right.
The Scud Missile.
All right. So I guess probably not him. I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue where their other
safety is. The roster, Anthony Harris. I mean, and again, anyone who listened to all three episodes we recorded last year, all three of them bitched about the depth of the Vikings football team. They need They need a lot.
You're talking me into the rebuild now.
Well, not but again, John said they could stumble their way into a playoff spot next
they
year.
Could.
Just by not being as shitty in close games as they were this year.
I would love for them to blow it up, but it's not hard for me to imagine them convincing themselves that they can turn this roster around with a couple small moves.
Well, and there's also an object lesson playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
The worst team in football 2 years ago is playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Right.
The Vikings are not going to get a Joe Burrow quarterback in this draft, and they're probably not going to get a Ja'Marr Chase in the draft following. Yeah. But that there's something there. If they rebuild, if they hit right on all their draft picks, if they can pull off a halfway decent trade for Cousins, then you know there's your chip and there's your chair.
Yeah, it's true. And I think I mentioned it, but like there's lots of teams that would be interested in Cousins for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all hate him.
We need one.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, there is a faction out there that thinks that he's a really good quarterback. They just look at the hard numbers and don't watch the games. And he's,
well, that, or they watch games, but their games are watching Carson Wentz be their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So their games are watching like
Jimmy Garoppolo,
Taysom Hill be their quarterback. They're like, fuck this. I'll take Cousins in a heartbeat. Yeah,
I mean,
we watched Christian Ponder. We would have taken fucking anybody over that.
That's reasonable. That's a reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, the Niners might be in the Super Bowl if they had Kirk Cousins at quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's so weird to me, but he would have given them a better shot. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's wild stuff, man. If I can quote Don Rush, it is wild stuff, man.
I think
it'll be fascinating.
My overall opinion on Vikings quarterbacks and the Vikings in quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings has not been born yet. person doesn't exist. It'll be decades before this happens. That's I won't be alive for it. I've done something that has made
literally it so this is just like talking to my dad right now. It's this is just how we talking.
Oh wait, I'm losing chicken. Are you guys losing chicken?
Yeah, I'm losing chicken a little bit.
Dang it!
But
world internet.
I do want to sort of piggyback off that point. Like, thing that's not going to happen in our lifetime that the Vikings will ever have a good quarterback. But does it bother you guys that the Cincinnati Bengals are in the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
this is a franchise that has been poorly run. They have done everything wrong for three decades. Yeah. They have disappointed their fans in every way possible. And then one year they're good. And no, we won a couple playoff games during the Super Bowl, which has never, it hasn't happened in my lifetime that the Vikings have been in the Super Bowl. And that whole time they've been pretty good.
They have not been every year, so much better than
most
Cincinnati.
Years.
Yeah.
They're in the playoffs like every other year and they've been so much better and they've never managed to make a Super Bowl. And in that span, the freaking Buccaneers, do you remember how bad the Buccaneers were for like 3,000 years?
They're never going to get good. That's what we thought. They'll never be good
they've
ever.
They've won two Super Bowls in that time. It's just, it's infuriating. Every other team has one magic year and they at least make it to the Super Bowl.
As a hockey fan, John, you understand the hot goalie theory better than anyone on God's green earth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get lucky. That's why, I mean,
no,
getting
sometimes
just, you've got to get into the playoffs consistently and hope things work out.
Yep. That's
and
right.
I think, because and of course, the counter argument to that is the Vikings get in the playoffs a fucking lot and they just don't get lucky. They just absolutely get kicked in the dick at the worst possible time.
Every time. Every
and
time.
That's but like you said, the Bengals, I mean, they've been terrible for three decades.
And you know, the one thing you could say is like, well, they have Joe Burrow. The guy's amazing. He's not even been that good in the playoffs. He's been fine, but he's not been like absolutely putting them on his back and carrying
his
them. Just sort of like
his knee blew up last year and he came back in time for this season.
Oh man.
And got healthy enough at the end. And they went on a nice little run. And you know, if Andy Reid doesn't get full of himself, they're up 28-3 at the half and they probably don't make the comeback.
Well, there was like a bunch of plays at the end of the Raiders game that they could have just lost that game. This could just be the Raiders or whoever the fuck else. So not us, though. No, can't be the Vikings. But any other team has basically a good chance if they get in the playoffs.
Well, not the Packers. Packers lost on a block punt. Let's never lose sight of that. Those motherfuckers lost on a block punt.
On a block
punt. Fucking dope.
To Jimmy Garoppolo.
That fucking dog shit team in a dog shit town in a dog shit state got their dick kicked in as the number one seed at home on a cold weather night to a California team. It's fucking awesome. And I'm so happy about it. Fuck you, every Packer fan listening to this. I'm going to get a beer.
That's good. Oh, that's good. Okay, John, I did want to ask you about your rooting interest in the Super Bowl.
I'm really having trouble figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because the Bengals are terrible, but they're good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't in good conscience cheer for the Rams.
That's
but like I just said, the Bengals are make me angry because they should have to be good for 45 years and then maybe they can make a Super Bowl.
It's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. I have a hard time rooting for that. Just pure jealousy. Just pure spite and jealousy. I'm angry. But then it's the Rams.
Yeah. I'm definitely not cheering for the Rams.
Yeah.
Not for their stupid $2 billion stadium and jerking around the populations of both Los Angeles and St. Louis. And Stan Kroenke is the worst. He's just
honestly, he's
worst of all the NFL owners, of all the people who own sports teams anywhere in the world. He has to be top two worst people.
Yeah.
Was that the Dan Snyder exception you were making right there?
I was just going to say, that's the only other one I can think of.
I ended up with top two. And yeah, Dan Snyder fits the bill too. And whoever owns the Atlanta Braves. All right. So there's a lot of very high cards in the who's the worst owner sweepstakes.
Right.
But Stan Kroenke's up there in any regard. Just a terrible person. Person that I don't want to see on television with his stupid fake hair and his stupid
isn't he a soccer douche too?
Yeah,
he's a multi-sport
one of the
douche.
Biggest ones. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's Yeah, across all leagues, everywhere.
Denver Nuggets owner, maybe? Jeez, told me there was a way for us to look these things up. Colorado Rapids owner,
I believe the Colorado Avalanche owner.
Sure.
Yeah. Arsenal FC, their owner.
It's all over the place. What one do you want to win just for the... Which would be the worst takes, like the week after, between these two? Because the Rams, it's some sort of like all these high paid guys, but they're looking for redemption and they came together because they've been doubted. Von Miller and Odell Beckham and obviously Stafford. That might get kind of tiring. But if the Bengals win it, I'm just worried about there's really no way to explain it, you know, and you can't really say like, I don't know, they kind of got lucky. So you have to, it's going to have to be a lot of like intangible sort of stuff. And I can't stand that. Those takes, those are the ones.
I'm having trouble coming up with reasons to hate Cincinnati other than the ones I already mentioned.
I'd be absolutely fine with a Bengals Super Bowl. I got no problem with it.
Their airport is in Kentucky.
Yeah. What a weird.
That's all I can come up
Johnny
with.
Fever just died. This one's for Howard Hessman, folks. I don't mind the Bengals at all. I mean,
nope. Just jealous.
Yeah, jealous. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, pure spite and jealousy.
Spite and jealousy is the only reason to cheer against Cincinnati.
And I mean, and honestly, if the Rams win, they're not going to win another one because they've bet the farm on this Super Bowl.
Yep.
They have no draft picks next year.
So that's kind of
everyone
funny
is 30.
Happens.
Everyone on that team is 35 years old.
So okay. You're talking me into this. I like this.
It's a short. Yeah. It's a short term. It's a short term hurt. If they win, it's fine. Either team wins, fine.
Yeah. I'm with you.
The Super Bowl, it'll be a fun game. They're both, I think, I enjoy watching both teams play. Mm-hmm. The halftime show's got people I like in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's a new, like, Dr. Rick commercial for the Progressive Insurance Group.
And, I do love those commercials. Really, who's in the halftime show? I don't know who's in the halftime show. Who's in the halftime show?
It's Dre, Snoop, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, and Eminem.
Yep.
So...
Oh, it's a lot of
it is a hip hop halftime show organized by 45-year-old white dudes, but it's still, you know, they threw Kendrick in for the kids.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, wait a minute, every one of these people are 60.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll be fun though. Chicken, are you a Bengals fan right now?
Meow.
You did not cut out there. Thank God. Your internet knew, like, we got to give him a few good seconds for that Bengals sound. Okay, yeah. Are you, like, super anti-Rams?
Meow, meow! Very anti-Rams for every reason. I thought you weren't going to have an opinion.
God damn it, roll internet.
Stupid, Karen. It's over. We can't hear you again. We heard three meows, and then it was
I'm pretty sure you called the owner a cocksucker at some
point. Cocksucking.
That's where I lost him.
Yeah. I've got my video turned off. I don't have other answers, guys.
That's okay.
Nope, that's it. You turned the video off. There's
what if
no
you,
other...
you're doing good. What if you turned your video off?
I'll try it. If I can save Chicken here, hold on. Okay,
hey, let's try it.
My video's off.
I'm stopping mine too.
Yep.
Here we go.
Nothing but John.
John is the IT professional, and he didn't turn his off, so he must know. Shit. Okay, now he's
all right. Off. We're gonna try this again. What I said was, I thought you were coming in to the discussion with no opinion on who should win. So I was going to lean on your political progressive sensibilities and start talking about Rams ownership and try to talk you into the my kitty cats. Mm-hmm. But you already talked about it. You've already went there, and you, without me talking, you talked yourselves into cheering for my kitty cats. So
yeah,
we'll leave it at that. I made a sale. The old man always said, if you make a sale, walk out of the room. Don't talk anymore. So I got you guys on my side. I'm not going to, I'm done.
Now you're just meowing. I caught all of that. That was amazing. Once you got the sale, just stop selling.
Get out. Get out of the room. Shake a hand and get out.
Yep, that's right.
So is that working? Yeah. The no video?
So far, I mean,
so far so good.
You were fine for a while earlier too, so it's hard to. I mean, it's hard to really say.
I miss John's Hall of Scarves, but that's okay.
Steve Jobs, motherfucker. So
yeah, you did it. You did it. Well, if we have you with a decent connection, we should move on and talk hockey because
little puck talk. Get some puck talk,
baby. Because your Minnesota Wild are special. They're special. I'm saying it. The floor is yours, Chicken and John.
Well, where do we start, John? You have thoughts?
We're going to start by the fact that both John and Chicken are like worried that the Wild are peaking too early.
They're too good.
They're too good right now.
Well, there's no doubt about that. If they weren't peaking, we'd worry that they're not peaking. We would be worried about a swoon. It's in our. It's just simply in our DNA, right, as Minnesota fans to worry.
Yeah.
But this team does appear different. They have not swooned. Every Wild team I've ever been a part of has either sucked, or if they've been successful, they've suddenly
swooned. Yeah.
Yeah, they swoon a lot. This team hasn't. I don't think they've lost more than two games in a row all season. Maybe they have, but I don't remember it. So, they seem built different too. They just, the leadership in the room. Yeah. Just built different. The leadership in the room. They seem to, I don't know. You listen to the people who are around the team a lot and they talk about this, how this just feels like a different team than some of the relatively successful teams the Wild have had in the past. I don't think it's like Spurgeon related, right? He's not the most charismatic character in the world, which is fine. It doesn't bother me. You don't need every captain to be, the mayor, but like Foligno, Dumba, these guys just seem to set a different tone. Zuccarello, they seem to be having fun. They seem to be, and then they're just talented too. You talk about culture, that's only 5% of it. They're just very talented. So they're deep.
Yeah. Did these guys just develop? Do we make some good signings? Like how did this, they really, I mean, it felt like just as a person who's not, you know, watching every night, felt like they turned it around really quickly.
Well, I think it's funny, like your Wolves or like the Twins, right? You talk about the Wolves and the success they're having, but like the players that are doing well are for the most part guys that the previous GM brought in. For the Twins, like last year, I remember teasing Gleeman because he does that top five and the top five and the bottom five war during the season. And the top five were all guys that were signed previous to the Boy Geniuses, which they've been around for like five seasons. So
yeah, I'm trying to think who the old guys were. Yeah,
kind of remarkable. And like the bottom five were all guys brought in by the Boy Geniuses, which I said to Aaron, like, isn't that kind of alarming? Like, shouldn't we be kind of a little bit worried at five seasons in that all of the top players were already here and all of the bad players are new?
Not great, Bob.
Anyways, a lot of the Wild success are guys that Fenton, for all his faults, brought in. So, and Fletcher, even some of the guys were from Fletcher's era. So
So it's just a charmed season.
Now, the thing that seems particularly charmed to me is the fact that Ryan Hartman is the center on the best line on the Wild and has 25 goals or whatever he has this year. Because that just seems like a magic wand has touched him and turned him into a god. Because when we were talking at the start of last year, it was like, I mean, Ryan Hartman, he's a fourth line left winger. I don't know what we're going to do with Ryan Hartman. And now he's the number one center on this team. And it's amazing to me how well that has worked out. The Wild would not be where they are if Ryan Hartman hadn't turned out to be an amazing center on that line with Kaprizov and Zuccarello.
And that's why I don't want to completely discount what Bill Guerin's done, is because he brought in guys like that. And also the addition by subtraction, the testicles visible from NASA satellites on Mars move to to wave Parisian suitors.
Yeah. If the gravity is, if it seems like things are off at your house gravitationally, it's because of the gravitational pull coming from St.
That's the Armageddon 2. They're going to use the gravitational pull of Guerin's balls as like a slingshot. Think of it like a slingshot. Slingshot the rocket ship around the asteroid.
You go around the backside of the Excel Center and just shoot you out into space.
So,
charmed
is a good word for it. It's just kind of all clicked. And whether it was by design or by accident, I don't really particularly care. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, fun to watch, doing well. They've been consistently really good
and
all season.
Like, fun to watch. They're like, the amount of comebacks, the number of open net goals, like they've got some stupid number, like 13, not open net, empty net goals, but goals with their own goalie pull.
Yeah.
Like
extra attacker.
Extra attack goal sets. That's insane. Like, that's fun. Holy cow, is that fun to watch.
Like,
like, how many times have they tied up a game by scoring twice with their goalie pulled? It's like
insane.
three times already.
That's incredible.
That should happen once every 2 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It basically should not happen. And it's happened like 3 times for the Wild this year.
That's a 5-run comeback in the ninth, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Which is extremely enjoyable. It makes for a fun team to watch. So, and then Kaprizov is obviously just electric.
Amazing.
Extremely entertaining. And Fiala can be also. So
I like that Fiala was just a disaster and they kept putting him on a line with two guys that didn't even have sticks in their hands or whatever. Then they finally bring up Matt Boldy and put him on the line. And even with Fred Gaudreau, who is just terrible on that line.
Fiala scored in like, can we get 5 minutes from both of you on the French guy? you're just always so angry about
they really hate
the Wild are having their best year ever.
I can't let it go. It's inexplainable, their devotion to this guy. And they are so lucky Jacques Lemaire isn't the coach anymore, because I would be driving that French Canadian connection between this guy and the head coach into the fucking ground. I don't have an explanation for it. Why Dean Evason loves
this guy.
Is
he like on the ice, like smoking the funny cigarettes?
He's got like Hank Azaria's.
He has a loaf of French bread.
Milan. Yeah,
wearing a beret instead of a helmet.
His accent from Milan came Pauly, the Hank Azaria. Just over the top, so stupidly good. French. I don't know. I have no. There's no because he doesn't do anything well. He's like below. The last time I looked, he was like below 50% faceoff percentage. Like, his takeaways are horrendous. He's
every
got
time,
like three primary assists. He's with like two of the most incredibly talented offensive players in the league, and he's got like three primary assists.
Fiala's got 11 goals, and Boldy's got 10 goals and 5 assists, and somehow Fred, who's on the line with those two, has one assist.
It's
a minus 11.
Cam Talbot's water bottle has more primary assists. Like, just random passes off of his water bottle has more points.
It's funny because every time I like sit down and watch the Wild, which, you know, happens few and far between, but pretty much every time, poor chicken just gets a barrage of text messages from me. Like, Fred just threw one into the upper deck. Fred made three passes that didn't go to anybody.
He went to the wrong bench.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're over.
Oh, his skate guards are on.
Backwards breeze.
Socks are down. He didn't gape up his socks today.
I don't know. It's not, I don't know. It's inexplainable, but why I have to focus on that and just be, why I can't be happy.
Well, it's uncomfortable. It's, we're not used to this. It makes sense that you're having a hard time transitioning into just being like a fan of a good team.
It's a blanket. It's my nookie, right? It's my, some sense of security that you can
still, yeah, a little comfort.
Something. Yeah.
You're in uncharted territories here, uncharted waters. You've not been in seas this high. That's, you know, fair. This is just new.
So I need a teddy bear. I need something to, yeah, yeah, to grasp onto.
Keep your floaties on your arm.
Psychologically, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy for you guys. It seems like, again, we talked about it, but like how I don't, not paying attention, but it's so many just like insane comebacks that have happened this year. It's awesome.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. The cigarettes I was thinking of were Gatan, by the way. They have that sliding case. Those are the cigarettes I was thinking of. In case. I had to look it up on my phone. Good. Sorry. Yeah. That's what I was doing for the last 5 minutes, trying to figure out what the fucking French cigarettes were. So carry on.
Things are going real well all across Minnesota because my beloved Minnesota Timberwolves are not quite a juggernaut, but they're fun to watch. They're competent. They win the games they're supposed to win almost every time, and they lose against really good teams, but they're steady Eddie this year. Have not been expecting this. And again, just like you, I'm going to keep my floaties on my arm too, because this is uncharted waters for me.
They're exactly 1 year behind the Wild. They are exactly one season behind the Minnesota Wild.
Oh man, I would love to believe that.
God, Brandon, I tell you what's been gratifying for me is the trade deadline is approaching here. Actually, I don't even know what the trade deadline is. It this week, I think
it is tomorrow. We are recording this on a Wednesday. It is Thursday, so Thursday, this is tomorrow. Very odd timing for us. But it's actually not for us.
It's been exciting for me because I feel like everybody in the local media has been coming around to the opinion of this podcast that we've had for like 2 years, which is even the local media is like just don't trade anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's trade rumors and stuff, and everyone's like, no, keep these guys. We want these guys, however flawed they might be. Mm-hmm. I want it to work for this group. And we've been saying that for like 2 years. And so I feel like it's gratifying to see everyone turn around and be like, I wouldn't get rid of Jalen Noel or Jared Vanderbilt or whoever, you know.
Hang up the phone.
Naz Reid? No. Just put the phone down. Nobody's straight.
Untouchable. Untouchable.
I can't. Look, I love, I have made my affection and my just flat out love for Wolves fans known.
I've been very public. Yep.
I do. I admire you so much. But, and I do mean to shit on your dreams. I was going to say I don't mean to. No, I entirely. I do.
That's exactly.
It's
your thesis. Yeah.
Today, because I saw a lot of talk about the Timberwolves, and I saw specifically Randball say exactly what you're saying, that we can't trade anybody from this team. Like this roster, you can't move anybody. So I thought the Wolves must be doing really well. Like the Wild, right? They're in second place or something, or maybe they're in third, but they've a lot of games in hand and they're gonna end up like second maybe in the West. Doing really well. So I'm like, well, I wonder, the Wolves must be kind of in that same strata. The Wolves are seventh. Seventh. They're barely
10 teams. But 10 teams get in the playoffs.
Well,
so that helps for the Wolves. For the, like I said, they're where the Wild were last year.
Nobody's touchable.
Nobody. Zero people.
Teams over 500.
I want you to imagine for a second, Chicken. Imagine that Jim Wacker was the Gophers football coach again, but also he's been the coach now for 32 years. For 32 years, Jim Wacker has been coaching Gopher football, and they've won one Big Ten game in the last 7 years.
I understand.
And then they bring in somebody else, and the team goes.
And that was
because the
Purdue plane crashed on the way to the stadium.
Exactly.
Everybody was really sad, but the Gophers won.
They bring in somebody else, and the team is 5-7 next year, and everybody's utterly over the moon. That is the Timberwolves fans right now. That they have likable team. That is one more game.
It's why I love you. But in this conversation, I can't let it go of that you guys are the context of what you're talking
like,
about.
Timberwolves fans who see their team win 43 games in a season and not be absolutely joyless and terrible are far happier than like Warriors fans who saw their team go 82-0.
Yeah.
Those fans would, their happiness would not even begin to touch Timberwolves fans who are enjoying cheering for their team for the first time since Kevin Garnett left 153 years ago.
All right.
The thing I will say, Chicken, is they're competent. They're in seventh place. That's good for us.
Fair.
And every one of their players is like 14 years old. They're all these young guys. There's these little tiny friendly babies who all love each other. That's this Timberwolves team for the most part. There's a couple old guys. That's why we're like, we can't let these young guys go because they might turn into something amazing. And then the old guys just don't have any trade value.
I'm going to ask some questions here. Maybe I'm off base. Mm-hmm. The Timberwolves have like two really good players.
Yep.
And some might say three. Mm-hmm. One of which is Ant. He's young. Obviously, I know he's in like his second season or something.
Yeah,
like
he's a little baby.
Karl Anthony Towns is the other.
Mm-hmm.
He has been around. Like, is this his 15th season? Like, he feels like he's been around. forever. He can't be young. There's no way he's young.
I mean, he's in his I think sixth season maybe. Like he's 26 maybe 25.
Which means he has to be about ready to move on.
But he's so good that like you're not really going to upgrade. Really, I mean, he's very good. So no one's really like, let's get rid of him.
How many years does he have left on his contract? Because he's not coming back.
Oh, he's got like 3 years left.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Signed for a while.
The third guy is D'Angelo Russell. No, he can't be young either. He's got to be old because he's been around forever.
He's the same as Towns. He's 25, 26. He signed for probably three more seasons as well. But he's another one of like, I think we would all trade him. That's fine. I just don't think we're going to get like anything.
Absolutely not. I would not trade him for anything.
John and I. Okay, you're right. John and I do love D'Angelo Russell. So maybe that's not a great example either.
A very, very quick aside. One thing I'm angry about with you guys and Ramble and I talked about this. I had to find out on my own that the Timberwolves have a player named Beverly and a player named D'Angelo.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And I was the one that noticed.
You know,
this. All the Timberwolves fans in the world, I heard people were talking and I'm like, wait, there's a Beverly and a D'Angelo?
Yeah, you've always told us if that ever happened to come tell you, and we didn't.
Nobody said
that's on us. That is on us. We fucked up.
It's horseshit.
We take responsibility.
You know what's hilarious? You know what's always hilarious to me when we talk about ages of players? You know, Karl Anthony Towns is in his 17th year in the NBA, and Kirill Kaprizov is the young, exciting star. Karl Anthony Towns is 18 months older than Kirill Kaprizov. D'Angelo Russell is 14 months older than Kirill Kaprizov.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable. Yeah, they just are so young in hoops.
They're just babies.
I mean, Edwards is 21, maybe?
Not possibly. Even. I don't think he's 21 yet.
He might Edwards isn't 21 yet. Edwards is 20.
That's right. Insane.
Edwards is 4.5 years younger than Kirill Kaprizov.
That's insane.
Edwards, well, I'm sure Justin Jefferson is probably like 25 too, right? Yeah. It's just, you don't really.
All right. So you're banking on these young players getting better as the way that the Timberwolves' future will improve.
Well, I mean, I'm a Timberwolves fan. This is all going to end very badly somehow. I'm not exactly sure how right now, but yeah, it's gonna end badly. But right now, I think the guys who are on the table that could potentially be trades for us are like a Ben Simmons or like these other guys. And people start thinking of like, who are the young guys we'd have to trade to get them? And it's just like painful to think about losing because we have so much hope in pretty much every one of these players. We think that every guy could potentially get better besides like a few. And obviously most of them won't, but just, you know, we're filled with hope right now.
Yeah. When you talk about how the Timberwolves are going to get good, I'm mostly like, well, they're probably going to win the NBA championship this year. And then next year probably as well. So after that, I don't know.
Is that a legitimate possibility? I know we're joking around.
No, it's not.
Not a remote possibility.
No.
Why not?
But they've won five games in a row. And so I'm pretty
they beat terrible teams who are missing all their best players, and we're just like, hell yeah, it's on, baby. They can't happen. They probably have like the 13th best odds, and that's such a different thing than like football or something. It's just, no, this would be the most shocking championship of all time by magnitude of a million.
Oh, that's true.
They're awesome, and I love them.
They're fun to watch. They're just fun. It's the same thing with the Wild. They're just, when they're on, they're so fun to watch. And
they have a good coach. A coach just like knows who, what guys to put in and what guys are playing well. He keeps them on the floor. It's wild, man. Yeah. What a concept.
And Pat Beverly is just the baddest MF on earth. And it
sure is. Just God, I just hated him so much until he was on the team. Now yeah. I love him. Yeah,
I think burned out on sports. Should we talk about John's vacation? Or
yeah,
not?
I want to hear about it, John. Let's lean our way into dad life here, John. Where did you go? Sure.
I was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh yeah,
for a couple of weeks, and it was amazing because every day it was 70 degrees, and I think we went in the pool every day and we ate dinner outside every night, and I am moving to Arizona.
Now, were you with Dave or were you with your family?
Oh yeah. It was my family.
Okay. Oh, you're at Wade's house. Does Wade know you were at his house?
Listen, we don't want to upset Wade. Wade doesn't need to know some stuff.
Okay.
But It was my family and my parents and my brother and his wife. And so it was sort of the whole, not extended family, but the whole group was down there. It was really fun. We had a great time. I had a great time, at least. I guess you'd have to ask Dave, but it was warm weather. And I've been scheming ways to move to Arizona again ever since.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What does Dave having a good time look like? Like takes. Paint me a word picture.
Paint it for us.
Let's go. Glenn Mason stubbed his toe.
Does he smile? Like, is there a visible smile?
Poor Dave. He's created this character for himself on the internet of the grumpiest jerk ever. Which is not
Chicken
at all
Fingers
what
has
Dave
no idea
like.
What you're talking about.
Dave and Chicken Fingers are very.
This really nice guy I know from Cannon Falls has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yep.
So,
John, was this the most painful return trip home ever? Oh, was this it?
It was the worst. It was
like you can't get me on that plane.
You know, it was 65 and sunny when we left and we got back, and it's 21 degrees and it's gray and cloudy. The car has 3 inches of road salt on it. Oh. Didn't see the sun for 3 days. It was minus 10 the next morning or something like that. Just utter misery. Here's another thing. This is something I looked up while I was down there. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but for my entire life, in terms of like the difference between living in Minnesota and living somewhere like Arizona or Florida, where you're air conditioning your house all the time, I always assumed that in some way we were the better people up here. Like, oh, living in Arizona, that's an affront to God himself. You can't live in Arizona and air condition your house all day. It's somehow bad. And so I looked this up while I was down there. I can't say, I have no idea what utility prices look like. And so I can't give you a cost for cost or dollar for dollar comparison. But apparently from like a CO2 perspective, much more efficient to cool a house in Florida or Arizona all year versus heating one in Minnesota all year. Oh. And it was just one of those things where I had assumed all this time that I was a good person living where it's 10 below and my furnace is on 100% of the time.
No, that's not the way that it works. Though I appreciate the energy that you're spending on this, John, but they are literally trying to build a train or a pipe that takes our water from Minnesota and transports
water is a different
transport. Takes it across the entire country to Arizona.
That's true. Water is an entirely different thing.
So it's, I hear what you're saying, but the sustainability of living in Arizona and continuing to have a population there, it's just simply, the math isn't going to work out.
It would help if it would rain in the Colorado River Basin once every 20 years.
I'm just always on a knife's edge. I'm just always so close to having a meltdown about the weather, John. So that didn't help me at all.
Florida, that's your spot, Brandon, or Texas. But the desert, it just doesn't.
Does it do it for you?
The math, well, no, I love it. I was in Phoenix last year. Fantastic. Loved it so much. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. And I would move there in a heartbeat. Yep. What I would need to do, though, is I would need to become governor of Arizona, because mm-hmm. I would immediately shut it down. Nobody else is coming. And I would probably try to kick out half the people. Like, okay, you have to leave. And I don't know how. Look, I'm the ideas guy, right? We talked.
Yeah, right. Yes. I'm someone else logistics. Execute it. Yeah, I just need half of them gone. And I hope it's the worst half. I don't know how. I'm not defining it any more than that.
Oh, and we'll do the gladiator thumbs up, thumbs down. Like, people can walk in.
Oh, yes, we will. You're goddamn right.
Whatever, if that's what it comes to. But I need half of you gone. And nobody else is coming. But it's paradise. Yep. I absolutely loved it. We were golfing over like Christmas. That's fuck. What are you kidding me?
This is also not good for my mental state at all.
No.
We shouldn't be having this conversation, Brandon, at all.
Irv
we shouldn't
and I were hammering, pounding Coors Lights, watching a live band outdoors on December 28th.
You can't see me right now because I turned my camera off, but I'm like, my eyes are squeezed shut just picturing.
It was like 3 p.m. It was like 83 degrees, and we were just pounding, and there was a band, and it was just so much fun.
It's just, every day we were down there, because we were down there for 2 weeks, if you took the best 13 days of Minnesota's weather all year, like if you ranked all the days 1 to 365 and took 1 through 13 and stacked it up against those random days we were in Phoenix, Phoenix would win that comparison by far.
God damn it.
It is unreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just, it's frustrating. It feels unfair. Like they won't share. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have this and they won't share it with the rest of us.
Yeah, I was in San Diego and it was like, 61 and cloudy one day, and people were like, where's my parka? I'm not going outside. Fuck this place. I'm like, this is the greatest. It's December 29th and it's 61 and partly cloudy. This is an unbelievable day for me, and no one was around because we're all spoiled.
I think another significant issue is I don't think I could live within, I couldn't live that close to Sheriff Arpaio. Like, our paths would cross, and I wouldn't make it. One of us would. The state's not big enough for the both of us. We'd cross.
Well, he's got to go. Thumbs down.
Well, I'd have to become governor, and he'd have to go. Because I just think, we'd cross paths, and it wouldn't go well. For one of us, I don't know which one.
You'd both be thumbs downing each other, expecting the other to leave. Like, I'm thumbs downing you. Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just.
Generations of my ancestors have served as an anchor for every seceding generation that has to stay here in Minnesota.
I'm getting my kids the fuck out of here. I've started laying the groundwork long ago.
You tried. You left.
I did. God damn it. It's
too
late for me, though.
I know. That's the thing. I lived in Arizona for a year. I went to school there and I came back.
John, you're the one to yell at. I had to come back because of my wife. She made me. And I let her know that.
Why did your wife want to come back?
Her family.
Yeah. See, that's what happened.
She's a Catholic. That's why. It's honestly, the whole reason is my wife is a Catholic. I'm blaming the Pope for this. What, you got a problem with that? It's the fucking Pope's fault. My wife, we were down in Texas, and she was just like, I feel bad not being around my family. I was like, is it like they can come down here and visit? She goes, no, I just feel bad. I feel bad.
One thing I know about guilty. The South is they got a lot of home. Churches.
That's guilt.
Jesus, they have churches down there.
That's Baptist. That's it's not
just,
the same.
It's just guilt.
You don't want to hang out with those Baptists.
Yeah.
So I'm back here because my wife was raised Catholic. Chicken.
You're right.
So that's my excuse, John. What's your excuse? What are you doing?
Well, that was the thing. My family was here. And the thing that I didn't realize, why didn't I realize this while I was there? It would be much easier to convince all of them to come to Arizona rather yes. than me coming back to Minnesota. That's what I should have done.
Yes. Yes. That all they needed was a little push. They were waiting for you to say something. How is it down there? How's the housing? Is there any opportunity? You go, no, I'm coming home. It's like, fuck, that's it.
Wow. I was a graduate student, so I was living in a terrible apartment in a not particularly nice area of Tucson.
So
you were living in Tucson.
I'm still
living anywhere in the Tucson.
That's from my brother. They make fun of Tucson and Phoenix a lot.
Yeah, your bro.
What did
they
say about Tucson? I'm curious.
Oh, my bro runs. This is where a chicken story comes in handy. Is that my brother actually took a job? He's running the bar and kitchen at one of the nicer golf courses down there. And Chicken and Irv might have been at my brother's golf course. I should have.
Which one?
Him. I can't remember the name of it. That's the problem. He used to work at the Arizona State one, and then he took a one of his buddies got a gig somewhere else, and they needed a manager. So it's one of the nicer ones. I just can't remember the name of it. Mm. But the thing, what I'm getting to here is that as of September, Mandy and I are empty nesters.
Oh,
that's how old we are. Okay. And also not just empty nesters, but also they're both living out of state as of September. Oh. Yeah, so
you're getting the fuck out, dude. We can do this Zoom from anywhere.
But I just want to know, do you think my copywriting would work in Arizona? I really don't know. I really all of my dumb fucking Minnesota jokes. I don't know how well they're going to translate.
Well, when we were there,
that everyone from Minnesota lives there now. So
I'd go on a walk. That's exactly it. You go on a walk and you go, you know, these houses. It would be the license plates in the driveway, Minnesota.
I'll just start singing the Boone and Erickson theme song, and they'll just come streaming out. Like
occasionally is. I think you'd be fine.
Okay, good. See you guys later.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not in third gear already.
Yeah. Why are you not living in Phoenix and having a guest room that the rest of us can come and stay for a month at a time?
My brother has a guest house, John. That's
is that really true?
Oh my God. He really does have a guest house.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like they bought a house that's used to be an old ranch area in South Phoenix.
Okay.
So it's but it's been developed, but it's basically he's got the home and then there's a little cottage. It's a cinder block cottage, but because it's the South, obviously.
Okay. Fuck it, I'll take it.
Exactly. Home. It's awesome. It's so fucking awesome.
You could tell me it's the Manson's ranch.
It's a spawn ranch.
A lot of the family's still on the property. I don't give a shit. I mean,
I don't care. Yep.
So yeah.
Oh God.
This winter has been awful. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that.
I don't even know exactly why. I don't feel like it's been. Has it been any worse than either winter? Or are we just every year we're getting more enlightened of why the fuck are we here?
It was 40 degrees 2 days ago. 40 first week of February.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know.
It snowed significantly in a month.
It's not a bad winter, but as far as winters go, it's just a fucking winter. It's nightmare.
It's just so long. It's just so long.
So long.
Stu, well, we're going to get to we're going to get to November next year and it's going to get down to 10 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show up on your doorstep and I'm just going to yell at you and I'm just going to start yelling and I'm not going to stop yelling until you agree to pack your things and move.
Yeah, that's right. Force them out. Yep. For our own good. Like a Goodwill Hunting situation.
You have two choices. You can either move south or you can be in charge of getting my kids to school for a month while I go south.
Someone's getting to school. Someone else is going to be south. You figure it out.
Yeah. Those are your choices.
God, that's the thing.
Next year, my daughter starts kindergarten and now we can't go. We can't go anywhere. I can work from anywhere.
You can.
My job is remote.
You can.
I see what you. I thought
you got to move. Can't go on vacation. Yeah,
I see what you.
Yeah, see, my plan is I realized there was the Catholic guilt, and now I have been stocking up the guilt in my direction. So once the kids leave, all that guilt is built up where I say, hey, it's time to move to San Diego. She has to go, I feel bad. I'm going to have to now.
She's absolutely not gonna do it. You're moving to Hanska.
It's only
a farm. You're going to get a farmstead outside of Hanska.
There's no doubt.
You're gonna be working the land,
you son of a bitch. I'm going to Austin or San Diego. That's
gonna be playing Tom Ball for Bernadotte.
You son of a bitch.
I can't believe I pulled Bernadotte out of my ass there. That
was impressive.
That is some serious Renville County years right there.
Yeah. Nope, we're out. Guaranteed.
You're not going anywhere. I guarantee it. As these kids get older, her pull towards staying near them, not just her family, but them, is only going to get stronger year after.
Right, but that's why I'm saying I've been seeding this with my children. We're getting out. We have to leave. You cannot live here. I won't allow you to live here. It's not allowed. You have to get the fuck out of here. And I just tell them every time we go to, we've only gone to California once, but every time we go to Texas or wherever, I'm like, isn't this amazing? You could live here. It'd be easy.
What if one goes to California, one goes to Texas? What are you going to do?
Move to Arizona. It's halfway in between.
No, I'm not allowing
that.
Pick
the one we like the best.
We've already established I'm not letting new people in. It's too late.
Oh, that's right. Dang.
Oh, no. We had our window. It was open. We got thumbs down. I'm not sure what we'll do there.
We'll pick whichever kid you like better.
The one we like best. At that point, I think it'll probably be pretty obvious to everybody, as it always is, right?
Which kid you like better?
Yeah. No. And the California kid be like, you're going to Texas, aren't you? And I go, yeah, you know it. You know why. He goes, yeah, I know. He's
you got your Cowboys hat on. Yeah,
well, son, Spurs. I heard your Spurs on the way in, Dad. I know what this is going to be about.
Ching, ching. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
You know, firing a six shooter into the ceiling. Yeah, that's our plan. Man, I was not. I wanted to hear about your vacation. And then you mentioned warm weather for 4 seconds. And then we just completely jumped on you.
Now 35 minutes we've done talking about how much we hate it here.
We have no idea what happened on your vacation. Warm.
I just want to go somewhere warm.
Oh, yep. Yep. Well, it was fun to at least we're all on the same page. Is that a positive? I don't know. I think we should wrap up.
I'm trying to figure out whether Chicken's going to let me into Tucson. Like, no, what if I, right. what if,
no, I have made no. myself clear. What am I,
nowhere in Arizona, not even Flagstaff.
John, nowhere. We all heard him loud and clear. We actually did hear him that time. We are not allowed in.
Nobody is.
Damn.
Not one single person.
Right. San Diego.
Flagstaff is up in the mountains. They can't find you there, John. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Off the grid.
Wolverines. You're out.
They can't find you. They can't find
track you down.
No, you will. You'll just hide in one of the breakfast burrito spots. Everyone's so happy. These giant breakfast burritos come out and it's 70 degrees all the time and it smells like a pine cone. Oh, God, it's a great town.
Oh, my God. Oh. It's so good. It's so good. Well, I'm very thoroughly depressed at this point, but it was fun at the start. So, all right, we're going to stop recording. Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Skull.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.